This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down.
Roger that.
Welcome to Trappin' Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. God, family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trappin' Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trappin' Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do trap supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got it. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're in the ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company, have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you. Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it, fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light, sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to dead camp. Shotgun toter, Republican voter. Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA. Cause this is what I say.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got...
Hello everybody, this is Clint Locklear with Trappin' Radio. We're going to do a little bit of different show. I'm up in Iowa. I'm sitting with Harry Nessel. And we're going to talk about not so much trapping, which we may get into that a little bit, but he's been into doing something, and I've been kind of a taste tester for him on a few things, and it's been awesome, is smoking food. So, you know, he builds a smoker, he's been smoking the food, he's smoking some stuff I've never thought about, and I thought it'd be just something that pretty much all outdoorsmen would think would be pretty cool, so we're gonna go about it this route. So, Harry, for anybody that doesn't know who you are, just introduce yourself and
Yep. I'm Harry Nessel, and of course I've been full-time with F&T since 2011, and I worked part-time there with Ralph and Sean since about 2007. And so I do a lot of their conventions. I'm one of the guys that's on the phone. For the people that doesn't meet me at the conventions, you probably talk to me on the phone. Talk to a lot of customers throughout the whole United States.
And you're a movie star.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm one of the trappers on the Pursuit Channel, and live up there, you know, with Jeff Dunlap. Clint's been up in that area trapping. We've had some other guys that's come from the West and stuff like that. And so Alan's been there and stuff like that. So it's really, I don't consider this a job. It's really an enjoyment for me because I'm an outdoors person. So, and I've just had a lot of people ask about this smoker. You know, I started this thing last year, and with the way we were running around, you know, I just threw together, went out and got, you know, basically the 80-pound Quikrete, did a 4x4 slab, and then I got all the plans on the internet, but I've just taken and made it a little bit bigger than what was on there. And I own a portable wood miser mill, so I got a lot of stuff laying around. So basically the first slab was a 4 foot by 4 foot square. Went a little bit bigger than that. When I say a little bit bigger, it was about 50 inches, because when I laid that block, I wanted a little bit sticking out, you know, okay, so when the water ran out. Then basically what I have is
Before you get into the technical part, why okay. did you choose this design over just something you go pick up at Lowe's? I'm assuming you looked at different designs and you picked this one for a reason.
Yep. The biggest thing was with the reason why I wanted this thing was I wanted to be able to use it all year. And when I say all year, we have a big 1,000-gallon smoker my buddy has. It's basically 2 500-gallon LPs welded together. You know,
what?
Yeah. It pulled,
two pigs.
We lasered it. We cut two doors. We can cook 350 hamburgers at one time, 100 and some potatoes in this pull behind. Well, basically what I wanted is I wanted something. We have one at our camp, and where we do 2 wild game dinners down there for the hunting guys. We've done hams, curing them, putting them in there. We've done everything. I wanted something at the house that I could take and build and use. I'm in the process now. I only got the front and the rear done with the cedar shakes of really buttoning it up to hold the temperature. When I'm talking about that temperature, you're not going above 250. So I didn't want any OSB in there, anything with glue. Everything's mm-hmm. done with just regular rough cut lumber. And is it something I'm probably gonna use at minus 20? Probably not, but I'm gonna get big time into making venison sausage. Your cost in the making these products is just huge. And when I talk about that, like back home, they get $8 for Canadian bacon, you know, for bacon. You look at that bacon and it's not what I can make.
It's more processed food now than what it used to be.
Yep. Yeah. So I know what we're making and what, you know, I smoke a lot on the weekends when I'm at, you know, when I'm not on the road. And for me, it's, once I get that meat processed and I put it in a vacuum sealer, now when I get home at night, if it's 7 o'clock or something, and I don't need a big meal in the evenings, but I can have a treat, mm-hmm. and it's a treat to me, you know, and I have access to the wood. I don't go out and buy the, you know, you can go out and buy them little bags, but I have multiple smokers. I have the little smokers, but I wanted something basically I could walk out in the wintertime and say, you know what, I want to do a turkey today. And fire that baby up in the morning. And
well, your design on that though, I mean, like your pigs, the two pigs are round. I mean, that's not a tiny thing. But
no.
What you built looks like a little building to me, almost like a little outhouse type shape.
Yeah, I had one person kind of comment, it looks like a good outhouse. And if they came to my house and did that to my smoker, you know, and we have fancy outhouses that we build because, you know, our hunt organization has no power. So when we go down there and, you know, we have a place up in Canada that has power, which is basically on a dead end. The railroad goes by it, you go up, you don't see anybody. You see beaver and otter planes in the air when we're fishing, you know, and you're trout fishing, and you don't see a person. And I live, you know, back in the woods. I have three houses by me. I'm on an oak ridge. I have a perfect location. And when I fire that smoker up and that wind's blowing across and it hits my neighbors and they open up their garage and they're like, oh, Harry's got the smoker, you know, because I'll get it going at 6 o'clock in the morning. And the one night I got home, I started it on a Friday night and I smoked the whole weekend until Sunday, till 2 o'clock. I just kept rotating stuff through it, you know. And I was out at this camp, and I mean, I love hard-boiled eggs, you know. And anyways, it gets warm and you don't want to take it. Yeah, you heat up your house. So this guy was out there and I was doing some cutting for him. And he's got about 3 dozen hard-boiled eggs on his top rack. And he says, have you ever had a smoked egg? And I said, I've never heard of a smoked egg, you know. And anyways, he takes these eggs. You want that temperature to get down to about 150. Or you don't want it right, and you can do them in a Weber grill when it starts going down. You can do them in anything but charcoal and just a few pieces of wood just to get that smoke effect. And what you want to do is let it go down to about 150. And if you can get it up high enough, like on my Weber grill, I mean, there's probably about, I'd say, 10 inches in between there. You can take your eggs instead of putting them right over the top of the direct heat and run them around the edge of your Weber. You can have your steaks in the middle. You can have whatever. Well, these eggs basically are going to turn like a golden brown, just like a farm egg, you know. Well, all you're going to do is just take, it's about 2 hours. And let me tell you, you got the pepper shaker out there. Most of these guys are trying to burn their fingers. I'm telling them, let them cool down. Well, that's your little appetizer when you're cooking.
I bet you could sell the snot out of that at a farmer's market.
They would eat them up.
So is it just have a smoky?
It's got flavor? It doesn't. Yes, it's got a tint of that. And like I was explaining to the guys, what we need to do is we need to have the gals make some deviled eggs, that smoke flavor in it, and take and put some chives or something in it, and just take and really something nobody's really never had. Mm-hmm. And when I went out there and checked this out, this guy's smoker is not quite as tall as mine. I mean, I can literally take. I want to take and put probably a boat crank with a cable going up through it. Because when I go to buy a pig, I'm going to buy a half a pig. I'm going to have a meat hook, piece of plastic, the pig will be covered. I already found a guy, and he's like, how do you want it cut up? $1.75 a pound. And that pig's probably going to, I mean, I'm going to have to put it in Friday. And you want to get your pork, you want to run that pork right around 155 degrees, you know, get it to 155. And any time when you're cooking for that, sometimes if it's longer, and of course your fire is lower, you're gonna have to, there's gonna be a period, if it's depending on the weight of that animal, say you're dealing with something that's a, you know, 160, 170 pounds, because I mean, there are some big hogs up there that they feed and butcher, you're gonna wanna spin it around, you know. So I've been just, I mean, I've always done small increments, but I really got on this bandwagon of getting this thing done this year. This spring, I really went out there and I used everything off of my property. I used the metal that's on the top, was off of a barn that we tore down probably 12 years ago. So basically what I did is when I laid that tin up there, there was no cutting, only that short side of the rough I was cutting pieces. So my eaves, when I brought them out, I'm like, that's what the tin is, that's what my overhang is. Other than buying them treated 4x4s, I mean, I could have used cedar and put them in the ground. That was the only piece of treated wood. Everything else was off of our land, pieces of property, trees that were given to me, and the concrete. And you know, everybody says, well, where are you on, where is it at in money? I would say I'm under $600 right now. And that's buying 2 bandsaw blades to cut the cedar shakes, because I'm physically taking a 1-inch board in different widths, 3.5-inch pieces of cedar, 4.5, and shakes are so expensive. You're literally looking at probably about $70 for a little bundle of shakes. And
but you're doing that purely just for decoration and make it look good.
Just in that, yes, and then what I'm doing on my corners, I want to take some half log slabs, and that's going to be my corner post so it looks like a tree. And then I'll have another corner here just to trick it out, And
if you took that away, what would your money be? A couple hundred dollars?
I was right around probably about $380. The concrete is, you can buy that concrete on sale. And the thing is if you get 56, I think it was like 56 bags, because I poured, you don't really need a 4-inch slab. I poured a 4-inch slab. You could get away.
Well, you're into overkill. I know you well enough to know that.
Right, and you're not dealing with major weight there, you know. So I wanted, you know, I basically used random boards. I used 2x4s that was off the mill. Nothing was planed. And you look at that, and basically I sealed it because I had stain sitting there, so I just put a stain on it. And then I was like, you know what? I started looking at Jay's where I was out there, and he had shakes on it. And I says, I had enough lumber laying around. Well, I started cutting shakes. I cut, you know, basically the 4 foot by 80 some inches up. I cut enough shakes, and basically after work each night, we cut a few shakes and rip them. And then I took my air nailer out there, a little Ryobi, and used brads and 7 inches, you know, just like you would do siding, you can do whatever, mm-hmm. and put that on there. Well, everybody was like sitting there looking at it now, and they're like, you know, we want one of these built. I'm not in the market to build them. I'm in the market to
shoot. You will be if someone offers you enough.
But, you know, what's not nice, you know, is like we did that batch there, and we went up to the PA and seen the guys. And, you know, last week we were in PA. This week we're in Iowa. And then we're going to be up in Escanaba next week, you know, in Michigan there. And so we see a lot of different folks. You know, you got people. We had people from Delaware, you know, they're in PA and stuff like that. So we ran down, and Wildlife Control Solutions. Andy was there, and he had his group, and they had the campers there. And anyways, we pulled their grills out. I told them, I said, bring the grills. And they were really not sure what they were going to go buy that night. And it was funny, because I pulled them half racks out of them ribs, you know, and they were probably 8 inches. I mean, they were the big ribs, not the short ribs. Anyways, threw them on, and they... Basically, when you're doing ribs, and I never knew this, I got on a forum, it's called Smoking Low and Slow. And if you get in there and read, we're talking guys that go to Super Bowls, we're talking to Pit Masters, we're talking
serious guys.
We're talking to just like our trappers. And these guys, you sit there and listen to them. One interesting thing is about all grills, and even if you're using gas and anything that you're using, tinfoil. And I never knew this, and you can even look on the side of the box. Very critical not to use that to wrap your potatoes up, put your vegetable down, because when that heat hits that tinfoil, it's turning it black, and you got a lot of stuff going from that tinfoil into your food. Mm. These guys on these forums, so it's and what's in that tinfoil, I can't answer you, but I can tell you this: the meat is different, the potatoes different. So all I do is I love vegetables. And we'll take and we'll dice up green peppers and that, kind of like making, just putting everything together, your meat. Well, my wife bought me this vegetable. It looks like a deep fry maker. It's just a basket. And we'll take and spray that. And you can take, we use a lot of actual butter. And you can just spray that so it doesn't stick. Vegetable oil, whatever.
You mean it's like a basket out of a turkey fryer or something?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you basically can take, and you know, your mushrooms, it depends on how soggy you want this. You can cook them however. You can smoke them however. Basically, you're going to just put all of your vegetables in there. Your meat's already been smoking. So like them ribs, I took them ribs for 9 hours, and it was nothing went above 250. I basically maintained, I can leave that smoker for about an hour and a half before I even have to look back at it, and maybe just put a few pieces of wood. I'm starting out with a bag of charcoal in that smoker, and that 4 foot one. I lay them that charcoal right out. No chemicals, even the big smoker that we have, we do not use lighter fluid in grills, in smokers, period. Because if you smell that lighter fluid, and once you spray it in there, you smell that odor of that lighter fluid.
Sure.
So what I do is I got little pieces of, I lay my charcoal in there, and I have
just
little,
on the floor.
Right on the bottom of the concrete. And then I'm gonna take some newspaper, crumble it up, just like you'd be making a house fire, and I'm gonna put that on there, and then you're gonna take and just have little chips of wood split up, dry to begin with. And you're gonna light that. And that door's gonna be open on that smoker. And she's just gonna start, it's gonna take off. once it starts taking off in them coals, I give them coals, it may take like 35 minutes. I give them coals. Sometimes I'll take a torch, just that you would solder with, and that's what we have on our big smoker, is we have one of them flamethrowers that you melt ice with. That's mounted right on the smoker. 20-pound cylinder, we turn that nozzle and it shoots a flame down that charcoal, and we ignite it. We shut the LP cylinder off, and we have one at the other end of the 1,000-gallon tank and another one. When I talk about the smoker, you know, we do cancer events and stuff like that. That was a big thing I did for 11 years. And basically come in where nobody has any insurance. And, you know, one night we did, it was just under $5,000 for a gal for cancer that had no insurance. And when you go in and negotiate this, and granted, we're doing this free, but these people are always like, oh, I can go to Great North Foods or whatever. I'm not cutting these places down. But when we cook for an event, everything is fresh, bought from where we know it's not frozen. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference when you go out and you're buying something. And I know it's hard to find all meats, but I have a butcher that I know, like hamburgers. When I'm making, like, mixing up hamburger, and I got a mixture of where I'm taking, putting bacon pieces in there and stuff like that that's smoked, and I'm cooking burgers for somebody, I don't want frozen meat. I want that. I just want fresh stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did, at Smoker that time, we did 43 pork roast, shoulder pork roast with a bone in it. You buy this stuff, it's very inexpensive. You can buy pork roast. Pork is inexpensive. Chicken's inexpensive. You get chicken right down to 59 cents a pound sometimes, you know, leg, quarters, and breast. And I will fill up a whole rack and maybe have like 12 pounds on half of a rack going. And I may have some Canadian bacon going. And I just got a mixture of food. Because a lot of times when you're having a party or you're putting on an event, you got to realize that, especially if you're doing a charity type thing, that everybody is not going to like what you put on that menu.
True.
But yeah, there's a lot of people that likes chicken. There's a lot of people out there can't eat pork. My wife is one of them. She will take a couple bites of it. She can't eat it.
I've got a sister-in-law that can't eat beef.
Yeah.
Because of something to do with her kidney or liver or something. And yeah.
So, you know, I really started reading up and watching these other guys smoke, and I've always enjoyed grilling, you know. And this is what, in Northeast Michigan, it's kind of like trapping. You'll kind of take the grill and you're like, I want to cook something. And you look outside and it's a downpour. Weather has no bearing to me now. It can be a monsoon. When rain hits your grill and it's changing your temperature on a downpour, mm-hmm. and you got to close the top of your vent completely because water's running through the top of it, not my smoker. I mean, it's basically shielded. So I can get it going, and I can literally, it's not going to rain probably all day. It's going to slow down enough. But I'm to the point now to where I can, like them ribs, I mean, I was just, I'm taking everything to an increment to where I know where it's got to be. And what I'm doing is I'm just, eventually I'm going to, you know, I've already told the people that's by me, you guys want to have a party, if I'm home, you know, you want to rent a smoker, all I'm looking for is to replace the wood that I'm taking out of it. I'll fire that baby up. I'll put the charcoal in there. I already know what the time frame is. You bring your seasoning, throw it on, and we can put most of the time, just like our big one when we go to these events, the biggest thing is getting the people with trays fast enough, because you can imagine 350 hamburgers coming off of a smoker to where they're not burnt. Mm-hmm. And when they start coming off, I'm talking, it's a chain.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is most of these guys, you know, you start talking about cooking for 125 people, breakfast, and then at 11:30, because these are pheasant hunts, the one big event that we do. And you're going to give them a good meal, because number one, they're coming there to donate. And we're raffling off guns and stuff like that. If you don't give them a good meal, this ain't a hot dog stand. We did that stuff when we were kids. Mm-hmm. Just throw something on, and, you know, and we enjoy doing that, and it's something that, you know, when we started doing it, it was like, then people kind of got the word of mouth, and that's what was going on with the hospital up there. Before the cancer center was built, they were like, oh, we can get all our food from our kitchen. Well, what we did is we let them provide the food, but we did not let them provide the meat. And when they looked at the value of the meat, what we were paying, yes, it was more money, But we basically laid the line down that we were doing a donation. You can go get somebody else to cook it. They did. Because they knew that it would be, and I'm not cutting down, but they knew that nobody out there could do what we did for 125 people and cook two meals in basically about a 5-hour span and spin it around.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're cooking for that many people, things got to happen. Because the hunt's at this time, and them guys are paying for a hunt, and they're going on a hunt. So it's got to fall in place, you know. And so, bait.
On the technical part, before we get too far ahead, people haven't seen the picture of your smoker that you built. I mean, it looks kind of like an outhouse. It's kind of go through the dimensions, and I mean, because like when you sent me down that fish, first thing Cindy did was, I think we can get one of them smokers from Cabela's for like $199 and go try that. And I'm thinking, I don't think that's going to be the same.
Well, you can, I'll go through the measurements. You can smoke on other stuff like that. And, you know, you see, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube and you got to filter it through. It's no different than, and I'm not cutting down YouTube, but there's stuff out there about trapping.
Oh, yeah.
You try to narrow it down. And YouTube's a great thing. I mean, an example is I had a pistol that I took apart and I'm like, I couldn't, and everybody was closed. I couldn't get this pistol back together. And I went on YouTube and watched the video and put the pistol back together.
I had to do that with my first Kimber. I'm like, this 911 does not look like any other 911 when I go take it apart.
There was, on that Walther, there was a pin I had used to keep that spring. And I've had guns, I mean, I could take guns apart. And this thing was just giving me fits. So basically what we have is we had, and if I had this over to do again, I'd have poured that whole slab one piece. But I did two pours. So I had about a 50-inch by 50-inch square. Your blocks are 16 inches by, you know, regular blocks. You can buy them at a Home Depot, Lowe's. Again, I mean, you can just, a lot of people have them laying around. I did have some blocks laying around. I went three blocks across it. So you got your corner block. So that's your 4 foot. You got a bag of mortar that's $12. I went three blocks deep. I went three blocks downside. On both sides. I went three blocks down the back. And I went three blocks up. Okay, so we got 8, 16. We're up 24 inches.
Okay.
You got about a 4-inch slab.
In the very bottom.
The very bottom.
Okay.
Then what I did is I came off that again with another slab right up against that one. I came out not quite, I think it's about 42 inches, not quite 4 foot again, for that storage area for that second burning chamber. That burning chamber there, what I did is I took a 16-inch chimney flute, which are them orange ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they line chimneys with. We had one that had a cracked corner over at the farm. So I went over there and I left, that was 8 inches by 16, so there was no block cutting. I laid that right on that slab. And it basically took up a block, dead center on the side. So okay. you'd have a block here, a full one. You'd have that flute, and you'd have your other block. And both them blocks were corner blocks. Do you have to use a corner block? No, you could put, we're not building the house. This is just because of, when somebody looks at it, I don't want finish. And then basically you're gonna lay your next row till you get three rows up. That burning chamber, okay, what I did is that's 16 inches. So anyways, you got a 42-inch slab tied onto that. I would have basically went and made a slab that's gonna be, you could even go 4 foot by 8 foot. Because that lean-to coming off could be as big as you want to make it.
Mm-hmm. It's raining, it's nice to be able to sit there.
It's nice. I'm gonna bring a porch off it and a deck. So I can get up in it, because now I'm stepping up on the blocks. So basically that second burning chamber, you're gonna take in that, you know, you gotta picture that chimney flute was roughly 24 inches in length. So there's a little bit of gap from that wall to the actual smoker, and then you can see that chimney flute. And then I started the next course of blocks. Well, that one there is basically just two blocks tall, is all I made it, my second burning chamber. and I poured that around, and then the barrel stoves that's got the doors on them, you could make a door. But anyways, the barrel stoves, Northern has them for like, I want to say it was like $58. You get the door to make these barrel fire stoves.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically took that door and I took two pieces of, it was 2x2 angle, and I bolted that on there and welded it. So that's my door. So that's where I put the door. And then above that, I probably had, because you got 16 inches up, and that door is not quite 16 inches. Above that, what I'm doing now is I got a gap in there, and I think it's probably pretty close to about 3 inches running across the top. So what I'm doing is I'm going to take and I'm going to make a little form, and I'm going to pour that solid concrete, quickcrete.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pour that to seal it. The top, what I did is I took a piece of 1/4 inch, just regular metal, and I laid that on there because I didn't want to, I mean, it just less work trying to support. And now what I'm going to do when I get home is I'm going to pour a 1.5-inch slab on top of that to hold that down. The reason I don't want that metal on there, you know, you can put a metal plate on there, and you got wood stored up above it, 8 to 12 inches, and if you got a fire in there, I don't want that part catching on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to pour a concrete slab on there. It's just going to lay right on that piece of metal. Am I ever going to move it? Probably not, because I already figured it out. It's basically going to be 180 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So quickcrete, you know, you figure 80 pounds, it's roughly going to be close to 2.5 bags. I'm not going to move it. But I want that piece of metal to be down, because I want to be able to use this again in the wintertime. One thing I want to touch back at is on these blocks, and it's not needed in the south, but to hold my temperature in, I basically took quickcrete and I filled every block all the way around. And what I did is I took threaded rod, you can use carriage bolts, and I took, when I was pouring them blocks, so I could mount the top of mine instead of using tech screws and screwing it to the block, I took, and they're carriage bolts that were 6-7 inches, and they were 3/8. And I laid them in the block, you know, in a 4-foot section. I just mm-hmm. went 16 inch centers. I got 3 in the side, 3 in the front, well, 2 in the front because of the door. I didn't have one there. And then, so I had 3 on the side, 3 there, there's 6, 3 in the back, and 2 in the front. That holds your top structure down. So you're building the wall, you know, you got a 2x4.
You're just putting your frame in. That's what you're just putting your frame in, 2x4 walls on.
Yep. Okay. Once you get all that concrete poured to that and that sets up, that's your anchor point. This thing's not coming down. I mean, a tree hits it, of course, yeah. I mean, I've got a different situation going on, but it's not coming down. With the concrete being inside them blocks, you're gonna hold more heat. That's my purpose of that. If you're just using this during summer months, it's not needed. Concrete's cheap. When I say cheap, you're talking, you can buy that stuff for $4 on sale, you know. So I would be out there, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, because I don't have a mixer. And this was all done when people's like, oh, you're going to need a mixture to do a 4-foot slab. No, I was mixing it by hand in a wheelbarrow. And you get going, and I mean, I got 2 garden hoses hooked up from the house to get back there, because I mean, I got a piece of property that I don't have water. And anyways, you get going, well, you can pour a slab pretty quick. Mm-hmm. The heat's starting to come, and I want to say I was done about 11 o'clock. I already had my forms and everything laid right out and staked out so that concrete didn't move. Your most time-consuming thing was the concrete and setting them blocks. I built houses. I'm not a block layer. I can lay blocks, but when I put it on there, I wanted it to be pretty true and pretty square. So I snapped chalk lines and everything, got that laid. And then when we came off that side, and some guys just build a smoker, just have one burning chamber. So that's your burning chamber just in that one part. And don't even, I wanted a spot to put my wood. And basically, you know, there's like, you can use any hardwood. Anything that doesn't have like a pine needle on it. You can use ash, you can use oak, cherry. So I'm constantly, when I'm driving around federal grounds and stuff like that, just kind of looking to see if there's a limb laying around.
Mm-hmm.
Oaks. And I try to take all the bark off my hardwoods. And I didn't know this. I was talking to one of these guys on these forums, and a lot of your bark in trees has a lot of dirt in it. So when you're smoking with that, you think it's going right into your food. So there's a reason why when you go to a store and you look at the chips you're buying,
no bark.
There's no bark. So basically they're splitting it. And I mean, I take and I split everything up, and I do use chips. And you can take and put a water tray in there or something like that. If that fire starts getting too hot, say it gets up to 300 and you come out and it's like, holy cow, it's up to 300. If I open that door, I can literally take and drop that temperature about 75 degrees right now, because we're talking a door that's
big enough to get
in. Yeah. You know, I can get in it, you can get in. Another way of taking and control that temperature is just have a spray bottle and just take and spray them coals and everything and knock it down. And then you're going to want like a pail off to the side that you're taking and you're putting wood in, soaking it in water. And this can be dry pieces. You start your fire with dry stuff, and then you're just putting that wet stuff in there.
How come you can't start with just wood?
You could, but what I'm doing is with them coals, what the good thing is it's holding a... I have such an area in there, Clint. So if you picture a 4 foot rack by 4 foot, I want a consistent heat, and I'm really saving on some of my wood. And most of the guys that smoke are using charcoal for a base, because that charcoal holds up even, and it makes a blanket, and then they're putting their chips in. If you had wood laying all the way across there, I mean, I have a fair amount of wood in there, not just one area. But once you get that wood all going, then you can control that temperature. That's like the eggs when I put them in there. I mean, I don't want them in there. I want them at the top rack or something away from the heat. But when I went out there and I was sawing for this guy, and I didn't take lunch out because I knew he always makes me lunch and he makes me supper. Well, we started eating them eggs, and I've never tasted something like that. So he gave me some and I brought them home, and my wife ate them, and she's like, these are good. So I ran down and for 79 cents, I bought 3 dozen. And the next day the smoker was going. And if you get too much heat on them, you'll crack them. It's not a big deal. Yeah, a little bit will come out. But all you want to do is just keep turning these eggs. And you could do them in a regular grill, and I'm sure there's going to be a taste of, if you're cooking ribeyes or whatever, of doing that. But basically what is neat about this is that you're utilizing everything you're doing. So it's like, okay, you've been doing ribs all day, and you've got all your vegetables diced up. You put them in this tray. You got baked potatoes in there. You let them go for 7 hours. And here's the key thing, even if you're doing chicken legs or any time you're putting barbecue sauce on something. I used to always take and throw the barbecue sauce on way too early. So you want to get them ribs to about 135, right around there, 140. They could even be 125. You want to move them up a rack and then get the barbecue sauce on them. A barbecue sauce has sugar in it. So anytime you get that hot fire, especially when chicken's still dripping, and you layer them with that barbecue sauce. And when I say layer them, you know, my wife bought me a brush. Well, I buy that barbecue sauce at the dollar stores for pretty much a dollar, baby Ray's. And it's like dip and trap, guys. I'll take, I don't care if it's $8 worth of barbecue sauce, because you got to realize I'm doing volumes of meat. And if you don't want to use that much barbecue sauce, but I dip them, just like dipping traps. I shake that off and I throw it in there, and them guys are like, oh, that's going to be good. You let that barbecue sauce caramelize, what I call caramelizing. No different than if you're putting it on ribs or whatever you're doing. Now what happens is that when I talk about caramelizing, you're not burning the meat. You're not burning the skin on the chicken. So you leave that in there for about another hour and a half to 2 hours. And when people are flipping barbecue sauce, a lot of times, you know, most of your barbecue sauce is falling. Yes, you do get that. But the goal is, like chicken, put the skin up and get it in there, close it, let it go for about 50 minutes, because now it's up on a higher rack. You could even be down to a temperature of 175. That's good, because you don't have to go very much longer on cooking this. Well, you come back out, now it's caramelized, you go to flip it, and it's almost like peanut butter on toast. It's not coming off. You can take, and the key is on these ribs, and I'm not sure if I've mentioned this, but excuse me if I've mentioned it. Your ribs will have on the inside of the belly a liner, just like a deer does, a skin, just like a fish skin, silver. And I read this on these forums. So what I did is I did ribs with skin on, and I put a rub on them. Anytime you're doing a rub, I always put my rubs on the night before. It's no different than taking steaks, and you'll take a zesty Italian, and you're basically seasoning it. And you'll see your wife or whatever, they'll be putting them in a Ziploc bag, and they put them overnight. And everybody's like, what'd you do to that steak? Man, that was just wonderful. So basically what I do is I'm going to take these ribs, and I like to cut them, and I'm talking a rack of ribs that's probably 36 inches, and I like to third them. The reason I'm doing that is, yeah, I could cook full-length ribs. It's not fun trying to spin 36 inches ribs when you got other meats in there. Mm-hmm. So if break them down, just cut them. I take them ribs and I take brown sugar. Again, dollar store. We're talking all inexpensive stuff. I go there to buy my seasonings, and it just, you go into these other stores and seasonings, $4 for a thing. I will buy generic cayenne pepper, garlic pepper for 99 cents at dollar stores. I will go online and I will look what somebody's mixture is, and I'll make my own rub. Mm-hmm. I'm making basically almost like a $10 rub,
right?
If you break it down. So what I like to do is I want, and there's different ways you could do these to whatever. If you don't like brown sugar, don't use brown sugar. You could do whatever, but do your rub, whatever you're gonna do first. So what I do is I take them out and I'll lay them out, and I'm just putting my rub on the top of them, on the bottom of them, rubbing it right in. And then I have like a little plastic, I mean, it's almost like a hamburger tray. It's probably 6 inches by almost, I would say, 18 inches roughly, whatever fits in your refrigerator. And I stack them ribs in there, one on top of one another, and put a piece of plastic right over top of them. Seal them down, put them in the fridge, leave them overnight. You come out the next day and all of that brown sugar is taken and penetrated that meat. Now you got your sweet. You can take and put a hot spice, whatever. Now I'm gonna pull them out of there, and I'm not gonna take and rinse them if you're using like a sweet. Next, what we're gonna do is we're gonna put our seasoning on them. Whatever you want, you're gonna season them. Cayenne pepper, whatever. You want it hot, we'll make them hot. You're gonna throw them in the smoker. They're ready to go. You throw them in there. You let them smoke 6.5-7 hours roughly. And then, like I said, you add that barbecue sauce. Chicken, it's very critical when you're doing, I do whole chickens. I got chicken holders. It does take longer with whole chickens when you don't cut them in half. And there's a lot of mass there to get up in these joints. You want to take that meat probe and you want to get right down in where the leg is. And if it's not 165, don't pull it off. Anything's bad is that you're giving somebody a chicken and they're eating it and it's real good, and they get down by the leg and there's blood coming out of it. Mm-hmm. I love chicken. I mean, I most of my meat, even when I'm not going to shows, is cooked on the weekends. By the time I get home, if it's 7 o'clock, I'm not going to take an hour and a half to cook something, even if it's a small portion, 6 ounces or whatever you're eating. Now all I got to do is heat up a vegetable or do whatever. So you got your rub on, that's in there. You let it get to that 140, 145, right around there. I mean, you're taking that pork, you're going to take, they say 150. I like to go a little above that. Then you come out, you put your vegetables in there. I mean, you could do multiple things. And if you're using like a barrel cooker, just take and put your wood on it. You'll see this online. They don't have it laying right in the center. They'll put the wood and charcoal on the sides. They'll build it like a, just like around the lake, and the center is hollow. Mm-hmm. And you put your meat there. I was out at this one, and this guy did ribeyes in a double-sided burner where it was the smoker and then the offset smoker on the side. And he did these ribeyes. I've ate a lot of fancy restaurants, Clint. I'll tell you this, at state.
Smoked food is just amazing.
And, you know, you cook up these vegetables, you can take, you can put them in Ziploc bags, your meat lasts longer. And anyways, I learned how to make Canadian bacon. Clint and the guys here at Iowa, there's going to be some of this at the fairgrounds tonight. And the guys in PA, when I had two grills going, and they were sitting there, and You know, we're talking, everybody's having a beer, everybody's having a good time. And it was funny because the campsites along the edges started smelling this stuff. And I started pulling these half racks of ribs off and putting them on these plates. And this one guy says, "I only want half." And I says, "You got half." And he says, "It's the size of a paper plate." And I says, "That's your meat portion.
Mm-hmm.
You need to taste this." And well, she had potatoes that she had made, and she had some beans. And even Jeff Dunlap was laughing. He says, "The potatoes aren't getting ate." And I says, "Well, there's more plates there." Well, when we left, because, you know, I didn't take quite, I had 25 pounds of ribs I did in one day. Pretty close to, and them 25 pounds of ribs were on sale. So we got $4 off every rack. So them ribs were like $7 for a rack. Now, there was roughly about 6 pounds, 6 to 7 pounds on one of them whole racks. I went in and picked up some chicken legs and thighs that were on sale for 59 cents. I had, I believe, 8 pounds of that. And again, no barbecue sauce. I just put a seasoning on that and just let it go. We had this Southwest seasoning. I think it was bought at Great North Foods, and it was like this red seasoning. Well, I took and I rubbed that on some of this chicken. My chickens, and by taking the skin off your ribs, my chickens you can literally take, and once I get them heated, and you can just, it pops at the bone, and these guys were eating this chicken, and they were like, wow. And it was a feast, and all I kept doing was spinning this around. Well, then I took that Canadian bacon, which is pork tenderloin. It was a 9-pound loin. And I basically took that and I cut it to where you could get it in gallon-sized bags. So I would say it was probably 10-inch pieces. You can leave that bottom layer of the fat on it. And you take curing salt. And this is very critical. I thought, well, regular salt? No. Curing salt. And it's actually called curing salt. Not very expensive. You'll see it. Anybody that cans foods, they use curing salt. There's coarse salt. This is curing salt. It's fine. You're basically, and there's different things online about this. I didn't want it too salty. So basically all I did is I put a thin rub on each one. I rubbed the ends, I rubbed the top, I put it in a Ziploc bag. You're gonna basically take that, this is a 5 to 6 day process. So if you're gonna smoke it on the weekend, you get it in there on a Sunday or a Saturday. And this is gonna happen next week. Mm-hmm. You're going to get all the air out of the Ziploc bag. You're going to flip that once a day. You're going to see all this fluid coming out of there. Now, you can smoke regular tenderloin. It's going to taste like a pork chop. By curing it, this is how we're making Canadian bacon. You cannot buy this. Value of this, I mean, we pay $8 for what they call good bacon up there. This is lean bacon. This bacon can be like put on cheese trays, ate cold. It's basically the size of a biscuit. You can cut it, you can make Egg McMuffins. Once you taste it, now I got a bacon, if you think about it, I made 9 pounds of bacon that was $21 on sale. Jeff and I are gonna go when we see it now this summer, because the next big hog down is gonna be in Herkimer. And we're gonna take, and I'm gonna start picking this stuff up. So that's why I have multiple smokers. Here I just brought a little one that we could take, because I want to put some cherry wood in there. I want to show you guys on how you can take these small little grills and how you can get that smell going. We're going to do this at the fairgrounds, and I guarantee you if somebody doesn't walk up to where we're doing this, because the smell of that cherry wood, even when you use apple wood, is just going to blow people away. Because my yard is it's just amazing. I mean, it's like, you can just imagine the neighbors over there cutting grass, and he's running around, take much more than 2 hours. So the one time I was like, you know, I didn't see his grill really going. So I figured I'll run over there about 2 o'clock. I took some chicken legs over there and put barbecue sauce on them because I didn't know if they liked it. And I'm like, I give him a couple pieces of that chicken. And he's like, the kids didn't even get any of that. He says, I got eaten. And he says, Travis was gone on his bike. And he said, that is unbelievable. And I says, well, like I said, you guys are doing the thing. I wanted something, Clint, for Vining. We do a couple of big cookouts. And when I say cookouts, I mean, I don't get, if somebody said, hey, will you cook for 50 people? I don't get stressed about it. I put in my mind, even if Corey's not with me, I mean, if we get up to 100 and some, him and I know what we're doing. And I usually just got in my mind, and even my wife, she's like, she even steps back. Because we know what we're gonna do. You women make the salads, do what you're doing, and this is all gonna work. And we just get it going, and then before long in the evening. But now you've, prepare with me is a big thing. You know, I've always, it's no different than trapping when you're out on a line and looking at something, and you're in the woods, and not saying I'm a big time gonna go out and slam all these. I read everything. It's no different than when you're going fishing. Mm-hmm. Am I a pro fisherman? No, but I go to Canada to catch fish. And you know, when my father-in-law said, well, when we take a graph up there, he never used a graph. He says, that's cheating. Well, one summer of me using a graph up there, he had a graph the following season. There's a difference between driving around in a boat. I'm not driving around in a boat just to drive around in a boat. And another thing that I'm gonna really try on this, I mean, I did 113 suckers. And 2 weekends. We took the kids out. I mean, it was just, we took Jeff out.
And were y'all netting those suckers? How did you get them?
Catching them hook and line.
Hook and line.
We were out of trout. There's certain rivers up there that you can net them. And there's trout streams up there. And where we were catching these suckers, is the example is like the otter that's going to be on show this year. I mean, it was right in that river system. And it's all private property. And there's other spots to fish these suckers. But we went out, and the one night, and I'm talking in a short period, we caught 52 in one hole. The whole hole was black. So you're basically just fishing worm. And well, I hooked into a steelhead. You want to talk about something that was a treat. Had to let it go because it wasn't trout season. But this steelhead comes up out of the water like a bass, you know. And I lost him. But the kids were like, here's this steelhead coming up, and it's all in all these suckers, you know. And but what I want to do is, and I've had it before, is I want to get some catfish like you and I were talking. And I don't know everything I'm taking to Herkimer, but we were out there and the guys ended up having some seafood for us. We had some, you know, we've had gator meat at some of these conventions. We've had moose meatballs, spaghetti. And this is just my way of paying back these guys that's, you know, we went to one time and we were like, yeah, you eat at these restaurants. Well, we ate at the fairgrounds, and I'm telling you right now, it was better than the restaurants that were in the areas.
Oh, man.
You know, so you get into some of these areas, and if you've never done a show there like Herkimer, I mean, we've done them there before, but you know how it is. You get done with the show, and do you feel like going 38 miles to find a restaurant? You know, and it's just, you got to get up the next morning. And so for me, it was a way to prepare my meals through the week, and plus, I'm eating better. I'm eating a ton better.
Oh, I'm bad.
And
well, let me see. I'm confused about one thing. When I look at the old smokers that I come across around the Appalachian Mountains that did the hams, there's a lot of them that are there, and there's a lot of them that are partially there that I've come across. Now, the way they smoked, and in my mind, when I think of a smoker, this is what I'm thinking, but it's totally different what you're doing, is it was a pretty much either rough cut lumber or it was somewhat of a log cabin looking thing. Mm-hmm. They were probably, the most of them were probably 8x8, mm-hmm. and it had a dirt floor.
Yep.
And they weren't sealed. Mm-hmm. Not the way that you're talking about. I don't think they were chinked either. Nope. It doesn't look like they were chinked. They would build a fire outside of the building that would be down. Yep. They would dig a hole with a trench. They'd run a pipe, and then they'd have shelves inside, and they would put the hams on these shelves, and they would, so there wasn't really any heat in there.
Right. That's what they're considering, and I've seen lots of them. You know, when I was looking at stuff online, I wanted something that I could use cold temperature, and I wanted something
So the Tennessee way of doing it probably wouldn't work in Michigan.
Well, what you're talking is your time frame to smoke that. And I watched one on there where it was I mean, it was a dirt hole where they had it dug where they made their fire. That they had basically a fire pit built with the pipe like you set up in. Mm-hmm. And this was slab. The guy didn't even close the door. And this whole area was smoke. And I mean, they did a wonderful job on that. I wanted something that, number one, critters aren't going to get into if I do leave the house.
Okay.
I mean, being on and basically sealed up. You don't have to have a concrete, I guess. You could do this on the dirt and make it in the dirt, but here's my thought on that. When you go to clean this thing out, I can basically take a broom and a dustpan and shovel it out, take the ashes out of there. Mm-hmm. My reasoning for, and I got... There's a difference between chamber one where you're smoking with direct heat, and now you got chamber two. I've yet to use chamber two, but this is how I'm going to use it. I've used it on other smokers where I don't have direct fire in this chamber, and I'm basically putting my wood over here. And it's that may take longer to cook that meat.
Well, I mean, the traditional way that they smoked was days.
Yes.
Days.
I consider that, and so do a lot of guys on forums, kind of like a cold smoke. Well, I started playing around with just taking cheesecloth and taking some cheese, and I started with the smallest package of cheese. I took a sharp cheese, I took pepper jack, and I took a mozzarella, I think the other one was. And I wrapped it up in that cheesecloth, and I put it at the top of the smoker, and I tried to maintain a temperature. This was when everything was smoked. So my temperature was already going down. I ain't putting wood in. This was when the temperature was down to about 150. And that smoker's going to hold that for quite a while. And I left that cheese in there for about an hour and 20 minutes. I kept peeking in there. You could literally look in there and see that cheese dripping from that cheesecloth just starting to come down and have all these different little points on it. Well, I pulled it out of there, and I says, well, guys, let's give it a few minutes to cool. Because, you know, you're talking pretty hot. This cheese is melted into a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we cut into the sharp one to begin with, and it was like mice on a cheese tray. It didn't make it to the house. So I says, all right, now we got something. This is my reasoning for that second chamber, is because on a Friday night, if I wanted to put ribs in there, and I had a bunch of stuff, now we're talking a cold, that heat's not right on it, now we're talking a cold smoke. And you could still do fish, but now you got to think about, okay, if you're doing it on a direct heat and you're roughly smoking stuff 7 to 9 hours, everybody's busy. You know, we're all busy. Everybody's busy in their life. There's no doubt about that. I want to be able to do some of this stuff in a day's time. And I leave the house. We may run up and do a thing with the scouts and come right back home. It's not a big yank if it's down to 150 and you take and get it back up. The biggest thing is your temperatures. You know, you're going to still check your temperatures. Anytime you're cooking stuff with a lot of bones in it, it's that penetrating of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know the pig, and I'm not even positive on this, but I know for a fact the pig might take, well, I know it's going to take 2 days. You start taking that massive weight.
Mm-hmm.
We do up there, we used to buy them. I mean, well, we would pay to have them done. They do take a smoked hind leg off of a deer. You clean up both sides of that. They don't take anything else out of it. They take that whole ham and they cure it. I'm going to try to, I think I got it down, I'm going to cure it just like the Canadian bacon. Then I'm going to take and inject it, because venison meat is drier. So I'm going to take and inject it with like a garlic, whatever I want in it, and I'm going to hang that ham in there. So you're talking, most of them deer hams are around 15 pounds, roughly, 15, 17 pounds. I'm going to hang that in that smoker and I'm going to smoke it. You can buy, the other reason of doing this smoker is I'm going to start making my own venison sausage. Your cost on making sausage, Landjager sticks, is $8, well, it's $7 a pound to have it done. So I go out and you buy a deer license, and then anyways, you're paying $120. I butcher my own deer, because that's 75 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So you got 75 bucks into cutting up the deer, you get 40 pounds of meat off of the deer. I used to butcher them. You know, everybody's like, well, unless it's a real, real big deer. So I butchered the deer, and then I go, and what my buddy did, and I watched him, is he goes, buys these kits. You can get them from Cabela's and these seasoning kits. They will do 30 pounds of meat. The casings are in there. All you're doing is hanging everything on a rod. What he did, they're 1 pound packages. He did the hard salami. So he added to 7 pounds of pork, because the ratio is 3 to 1. That is venison. You need a grinder, guys. Go out, you buy it. I'm not saying we're grinding. I'm going to make sausage. I did it when I was younger. I worked at a store. I actually worked at that store even when I was working other jobs and processed deer and processed other animals, cut up chickens. So are you going to do this in a hand grinder? No. You know, you go buy that even a $100 grinder, it's pretty amazing how long a $100 grinder. We're not talking cut the meat up small enough and just use it to make your sausage. We make a lot of our own hamburger. So you go, and here's the cool thing is people will say up there, well, this is 80-20. Well, you get it home, and that's why I buy from one guy, because I know what it is. I can taste hamburger and tell you where it is on the fat contact and how much it is. Somebody can tell you, and I'm not saying all of them is like this, but you got to realize that that's just a percentage type thing.
Well, I mean, I was a butcher at one time, and when we would decide what 80 or 20 was, it was nothing was measured. It was like you get the big chunks out of the box, and then whatever the scraps were, you threw in there, and you just said, I declare this
80-20.
80-20 or 73% or whatever, because it kind of looks that way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it was done.
And that's the nice thing is about, and another thing you're going to need, and you don't need electric, but they got the stuffers that you can put the casing in. Because these casings you buy, I mean, you're talking like a little, don't, and I mean, you can you do it by hand? Yes. But it's going to be a nightmare trying to stuff that little 1 pound. You're going to get air in there. And it, the instructions are right on there to take that venison to 150 degrees. So my next thing to buy, because I only have a little meat probe to check it, and we found them on Amazon, and this thing is cool. They got, it's just a digital thermometer, and it's got a 48-inch stainless steel lead on it. And on the one end, it's got like a needle, and the rest is all high temp braided. You can stick this, guys, in your turkey, and it'll, right outside your stove, well, that's gonna sit right outside my smoker. My leads are gonna go in, and basically that lead's gonna lay right up against the wall. It ain't gonna even leave there. Well, you can buy one of them probes. I was looking at them, I'm like, I can't believe what they sell them for, but they're under 25 bucks. Now, what's cool about this is there's a button on there for beef, there's a button on there for chicken, there's a button on there for steak, and you can hit steak, and you can hit rare, and you can hit steak, and you can hit medium. You could lay your T-bones in there, do a one flip on them, stick your probe in them, be sitting in their lawn chair, and the alarm goes off, and that's what that steak is. You know, and I'm not, like, even restaurants, when stuff comes out and it's cooked to a precision, yeah, these guys know how to cook, and they're kind of doing it on a, it's a minute type thing, where they'll say it's this and that, they're still checking it with a probe. A lot of your guys that's in restaurants that's cooked a lot of steaks, a lot of them don't have to use them because they've done so many steaks, but they started with probes. And when you know, when you're cooking for somebody, especially when you're cooking for an event, when you're cooking for your family, it's hard enough because you're going to hear that all year. If it's your sister-in-law or your brother-in-law, you know, oh, we were over there for Christmas, and that was, you know,
bloody chicken.
Yeah, we should have just went to McDonald's. You know, we never eat at McDonald's, but can you believe what he fed us? You know, I want the effect when they walk away from that is like they've never had this. You know, we do hobo dinners to where we have a 16-gallon keg with the lid cut off of it, and we'll take and put picnic hams in there. And here's the thing with, and I know we're talking about smoking, but here's the thing with hobo dinners. A lot of people does them. And you'll get your, you got your big canister. And for years, we would be sitting there, and we do this over a big open fire. We have a 4-foot fire ring, galvanized. You can buy them. We got the swing out things that can. Well, anyways, we would be doing these, and you got your big thing there. Well, 16-gallon keg, you take 1 gallon of water, roughly eight pounds, and you got a picnic ham in there, and you got a whole bag of potatoes in there, and you got a whole few things of carrots. Was getting that stuff out. We said, man, there's got to be a better way of getting this out. So we start putting everything in cheesecloths. You put your carrots in your cheesecloths, you take your onions, and a lot of people like to dice up onions. You can put the whole onions in there, and they'll just bust apart. So everything is divided. Well, now we got a hook, just like hooking a fish. And you hook that cheesecloth, and you pull it up out of there. Now, number one, you're not hanging over that fire getting burned. Because just like sometimes when I open up the smoker and I'm standing up in the door of trying to get something off the top rack. That's the other thing too. You want these pieces where you can control them. You're trying to take a 10-pound piece of meat out and you're sticking it with a fork or grabbing it with tongs and stepping down and you're dropping it. You know, because a lot of your pork shoulder roasts are roughly 5 to 7 pounds and you guys want to try something good. And this is easy to do. When them pork shoulder roasts and they go on sale and you can cook them on a Weber grill, you don't need what I have. You take and put your rub on that, what you want, and you put that in there. And it's going to take a while to get that because you got that bone, that shoulder bone in there. You take that thing 150 to 160 and you put whatever. You can put any hardwood in there. You know, we just lost, I mean, it's been going on, 25 million ash trees in Michigan. That's a hardwood. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you don't want to use popple, but you know, we're talking ash, oak, cherry, maple. I like to take green maple when it's wet. You need a backup plan with wet wood. So if you're using a smaller area like a Weber, of course, we're not dropping 16-inch pieces of wood in there. The effect of the smoke is, you know, number one, you're using a charcoal, even if it's around the edges. And if you watch these guys at Super Bowls and stuff like that, and the football games and the pit guys, they're doing is they're just dropping a piece around there and they're getting that smoke ring. When you take and cut into a smoke ring, when I talk about a smoke ring, you can take one of my pork roasts, and this is unlimited to what you want to do with it. You can take that pork roast, you can let it cool, and you can take and you can shred it. Just rip it apart with your hands, or start cutting it, break it all up, and you take a bottle of barbecue sauce and dump it on it, and you got shredded pork. Mm-hmm. You can do this with beef. So what I like doing is they can eat off them. I'll throw them in there. I might throw four of them in there. What's not getting ate is shredded pork. You know how fast that meal is for me? I put that on a bun. I've really cut back on bread, but I mean, I occasionally once a week I'll have something with a bun on it, you know. Mm-hmm. You got shredded pork. The smoke and the steaks, I never thought about that. Like I said, when I ate that ribeye, and I asked that guy, I says, you've done T-bones? He says, Harry, he goes, I smoke what's on sale. So you think about it, you're buying, whenever you're buying, yeah, you're getting it at a cheaper price because you go to Great North Foods or you start buying these meats and you watch. And yes, some of these may have been frozen, just like the ribs. It's hard to find ribs that's not frozen. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying there's to the point to where like your hamburgers and certain meats, if you want fresh, you can get fresh. And I got a heat shield in there too. I didn't really mention this, but anyways, I got a heat shield. I got some blocks in there where I got a quarter inch piece of metal to put on the top. If I'm just using that first rack and it's too hot, but now what I want to do is drill some holes in that heat shield. The other reason why you'd want a piece of metal up there is some guys will take a little pan and put some water in there and just have that water so it's not drying out everything in there. Here's what I do with my pork and my Canadian bacon, if people like apple juice. I'll take about an ounce of apple juice, about a shot or whatever of apple juice, and I'll let that pork be in there going, and instead of injecting it with something, I'll take that apple juice and dump it right on top of it. Close it back up. The next time in an hour that I flip that, I'll take and I'll dump it on the side of it. Now, when people say, how much apple juice? If you like apple juice, it's not going to overpower it. Mm-hmm. It's going to really take, because my pork, when I do them pork roast, I'm not putting brown sugar on them. You can. I'm just saying, once you get the skin off your ribs, and that, the biggest difference is when that skin's on there, and I put all these rubs on there, Clint, I was basically putting rub on ribs that wasn't even penetrating. And that's why when you take and you look at it, you take your rib and it pops off like that. And the other thing is when you're trying to eat it, you're basically eating like a piece of skin. Mm-hmm. And your guy's sitting over there fighting.
One thing you can try on that pork, and I have a feeling you're like, is tequila. Replace the orange juice with tequila. That's amazing on pork grilled.
Oh, I bet you it would be.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, like last year anyways, I had had that thing going, and I basically just got it, the blocks done last year. And the wood was there.
Well, next time I'm up there, I definitely want to be through the start and the finish of that. Because, I mean, I can see, like you're saying, everybody's busy. You know, I want to smoke beaver. I want to smoke, you know, I grow the ducks. I've had those smoked for me, and that was off the charts.
Yeah.
You know, and the catfish and stuff like that. I have a feeling that I could play around with some of the other, you know, quote, trash fish that I bring back from Florida or catch out of the river with a smoker.
Yeah.
Make utilize all that. But the biggest thing is throughout the week, just make life easier.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, you know, Clint's talking about all these different things you can smoke. It's like my fish. I ended up, guys, with 100, and I mean, guys talk about making baits and this and that. I ended up with 112 of the bones, the scales, the skins, because you don't eat them on these suckers. We basically, this was all smoked skins and the tails. We basically threw them in a 5-gallon bucket.
Oh, it's going to be some good stuff.
So here's what I do is I pre-bait these coons at locations. Well, then I didn't want this stuff on my rack, but I took the cheesecloth. And we're talking a little bit about somebody who just wants to play with making some bait. You don't want to do this in your Weber. You want to have something where you can get it up. And I took some of them sucker heads, and I put like a half a dozen in that cheesecloth, and I hung them on top of that smoker. This was when no meat's in there, because you're going to get stuff dripping.
Right.
You don't want, you know, and I'm specifying that because I could just see somebody trying to cook a...
My prime rib tastes like smoked fish.
You know? And, you know, suckers, you know, I'm not saying, well, our water is cleaner than most people's water, so our suckers are really, really good.
Thanks for your hell are.
It's a good time to take kids out, and it reminds me of Canada, you know. When we're up there and we're catching 28 fish between two of us in an hour and a half, and we look across, and I say to my brother-in-law, is your arms getting sore? Because you start reefing in, you know, our largest pike, northern pike that we caught was 17 pounds, it was 42 inches. Everybody will sit there and say they can fish all day. You run back to cabin and have lunch, and then you come back fishing. And there's been days up there when I've been on fish when it's good. There's been days when you don't catch fish. But there's been days up there where we've changed our line on our, because of so much stretching going on our lines. Well, a real cool thing up in Canada, and I want to touch on this, is that anybody that loves corn, okay, we'll take corn. A lot of people have done this. You soak your corn. You don't shock it or take, you don't clean it. Leave it complete. You take that, you soak it in a 5-gallon bucket. We usually do ours in about a 30-gallon bucket that's been cut. When I talk about corn, and you look down in that barrel, that whole barrel all the way across is like bobbers, and it's corn. You take that corn, you put that on the top rack of that smoker or your grill, and you can just literally keep turning it. The outside of that's going to turn black, okay? You're going to need about, and I'm not exaggerating on this, we take a pan and it's nothing but pure butter. Butter, not margarine, butter. We don't have, like you'll see when people's at trying to use a little block to put butter on. People will be coming up and they'll be getting their picnic ham or whatever at a hobo or the smoker, and they're grabbing, they're making their plate, and you literally take your ear of corn
and roll it.
You have tongs and you dip it in the thing. Yeah, roll it. When you pull it out, there's a brush there, but you should see these guys. You don't need to worry about a diet at that point or there. This is a treat. This is something that only happens once a year. You eat that corn like that over that fire inside that smoker. There's a big difference. I mean, I'm not over a stove in the water and stuff like that. Number one is most people, you know, sitting there cleaning all that corn. Now you just sit there and you peel that back. That shell over top of that is just, it's phenomenal. You know, and this is when your fire is going down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, you don't want it burning. But that's the interesting thing, even doing these shows, and you, and I'm not saying not all the people, but, you know, like we got a lot of campers here. Tonight we're going to walk around. Guys miss that. They'll leave the convention. They're tired. They're this, they're that. everybody's tired. We all get tired. Go meet them people. We were at Fur Takers, and this was in 2015 when it was down in LaGrange. I ate something that I've ate it before, but not this way. They had two wild turkeys, and they took these turkey breasts, and they cubed them up to where I would say they were probably like 2.5-inch squares, just cubes. They took two pieces of bacon and wrapped it one way, and then they wrapped the other way. So this whole, and they ran toothpicks through it. They were cooking it. It was just on a charcoal grill. They weren't smoking them. And it was on, you know, the charcoal was just all gray. And they put them in there. We weren't hungry until the first tray came up. We'd already ate. Well, they brought a tray out, and I'm not exaggerating. I mean, they might have had more than two turkeys. But we started eating these, Clint. And all of a sudden, the people across from us they were sitting outside and they were having a drink. And this campsite said, didn't even know them. Mm-hmm. This is a trapping, you know, community. We're brothers, we're sisters. Anyways, they came right over and I got to meet these people, you know. And today I got to meet some people from Montana, you know, that basically is out there 30-something, I mean, way out, you know. Meeting people from Texas, you know. That's the cool part of my job, and talking to these different people. You may talk to, you know, you get an opportunity to talk to somebody on the phone, and yeah, you may write down the state that they're in, but it's really cool. Like last night when we went to dinner, and we're sitting there and we have people, you know, that restaurant was just busy. This place, we're talking a small little community here that this is going on. And they were busting it, they were making it happen at that restaurant, and they were tickled to death to see every one of us. Mm-hmm. They knew nothing about what we do as trappers, and they're sitting there going, how many's coming? And here we are in this little town. Yeah, there's lights here, there's no lights in my town, but how much this brought to the community.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's what it's all about with me. You know, and when you're walking around these fairgrounds and you're somebody invites you over, you know, go over and talk to them. You might be a little shell-shocked who you're going to meet, you know. Yesterday, I'm standing at the booth, and I look over, and I hear this guy say, hi, Ron. And I look over, and there is Ron Hauser. I've sold his videos for years. I've never talked to him on the phone. I've never met him. So I gave him, you know, people were talking to him, and he'd come up the center aisle, and I always wanted to meet him. And he come right over to the booth, and I says, hi, Ron. And he shook my hand, and I got to meet him. There's no other way I've ever would have met this guy if mm-hmm. I would have never been here. Just like the people that I've met, just like sitting down with Johnny Thorpe in New York and all these guys and literally staying up, and I'll never forget this. And I mean, everybody was like, man, you must have been exhausted. But it was 10 to 3. We sat at Johnny's in Herkimer the one year. And no, I wasn't tired, because I was running on full adrenaline because I was listening to him. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to everybody that was there, and it's just like going to Canada. I normally cook for about 10 guys. And when somebody says, well, I'm gonna cook for you guys, I want a sample plate done, because I had a couple guys up there that say they could cook. And I want the meals, I want people to remember going on the fishing trip or going to the convention. You know, I want them to say, man, that was really nice, you know.
Well, the thing about the shows, that if people take the time, most people have a story that will blow you away if you'll get to it. I mean, you know, you see people all the time, you know, and everybody's busy and you're in a hurry and you're trying to, you know, do this. When you really get to meet people, it's amazing the individual stories. Oh, yeah. That's what always amazes me. Some of the guys I met yesterday, the story of it was just, you would never think that. You can make a snap judgment about somebody or whatever. Right. You get to really know them. I mean, it's pretty fantastical. They may not see their life that way, but it's right. So different.
And a lot of times it's, you know, just like you're saying, it's just talking to that person, because we're all busy. Everybody's busy. There's no doubt about that. Life is, you know, I look at my boy being 14 years old, and I just, it's a blank, you know. I look at, like, last year, sitting there talking to Darren, you know, and then what happened to him. I just look at every time that I get an opportunity to do something with somebody and sit down and talk to them. We're not talking an hour. Give somebody 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing that our days are, you know, we can use, I'm not saying we waste all our time, but I waste time here and there.
Doing everybody something. Does.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm one that's, you know, and I get up early. You know, we're on this hour difference. So this morning I was up. I'm up at 5 o'clock every morning.
So you're up at four here.
I was up at four. So Jeff's like, might as well just turn the TV on. So we got the news going. My days are, and it's funny because, I mean, do my days change? Well, yeah, I'll be doing something. Here's another example is that the smoker's going and I get a call that somebody doesn't have a plug's messed up in their house or that their wife wants to put a fan up. So, and that don't happen every weekend, but I go do it. And then they're sitting there going, well, wow, we couldn't get that done. We couldn't get this guy here. We couldn't get that done. You know, it's just like sawing lumber. I mean, I basically just cut lumber for myself. I'm on a big job right now. If you do a good job to people, you never have to advertise. I've never had that other than the first year. But talking to people and even meeting all the people for the districts, and even if, because these guys do a tough job. Every state we've been into, the PTA guys are great, all these different states that we do, Wisconsin, I can't say enough. Lima, Ohio, they had nationals there for a long run where it was like 7 years. I think they did like three of them. Mm-hmm. And they got burnt out. They have every right to get burnt out. This is a big deal, putting on shows like this. And is something not going to fall in place? Absolutely. You know, we went up yesterday, and I mean, we just kind of chuckled about it, but we went to get a coffee, and they didn't have any styrofoam cups. You know, are we going to go to the guys from Iowa here and say, you know something, them people there didn't have any styrofoam cups? Stuff happens. You know, you shake a lot of stuff off, kind of just laugh about it, and walk away from it. And, you know, it's, I don't know, there's just certain things where I really think that if you just talk to the people, how things can be a lot smoother instead of getting stuff fired up. And the interesting thing is that then at the end of the show, and they're coming over and they're thanking you for coming. And I am grateful to be here. I am honored to be doing the show, but yet they're thanking us and they're like, man, you could have went. And that's the key thing is that, you know, there's a show every week somewhere, you know, Clint.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and all these different places you go and you think, well, I've seen everybody. No, don't ever look at life that way because you haven't.
No.
Because, you know, here I am, I'm seeing people, and the difference is like seeing Ron there. I've done shows, Madison, Iowa. I never met him there. I've done shows all over. I've been in Ohio. Has he been there? I'm sure he has. We just didn't cross paths. And I could have been going to the bathroom or wherever. I just got lucky, and I was at the right place at the right time to meet him. And I may not see him again for another 5 years. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. Well, dude, speaking of the convention, since it's early in the morning right now, we better get over there.
Yep, we're going to head over there. And thanks for this. It's been a long time since I've been on here, and it's not that I'm, you know, I'm not making excuses. We're all busy. I'll try to make a point to try to do one of these once a year. Appreciate everything you've done, Clint.
Well, I appreciate you sending down that fish, and yeah, I mean the smoked food. I mean, it's just to me. For one, I think the reason I want to do this, to be honest with you, I think it's one more way that people that are outdoorsmen can figure out how to be a little bit closer to it, and so separated the way that life is now, where yep. It's just all fast and. You know. Well,
that's the thing too, like our hunting camp and up in Canada. We have power up in Canada, we have a shower. Our hunting camp is down in the one camp that I'm in, 1,600 acres down there and stuff. There's one guy that's got power. That cost him $42,000 to bring the power in off the highway. When we go down there, we don't want power. We got gas lights. We got a generator. And some of the camps don't even have a TV. We got a DVD player. We can watch trapping videos, stuff like that, hunting videos. But when you get away from that, it's, you know, and our phones work some spots down there, you know. And it's really, what's cool is when you get away from it, it's like, yeah, I can live without this for a few days. And just get your mind back and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
because it slows you down to where you're human again.
It is, because everything now, and I'm not against technology, but everything is just, I think in probably the next 10 years, they're probably going to have to engineer how cars drive, because, I mean, everybody's looking at their phones now, you know, when they're driving. I don't do it, but we're going to have to get back to, you know, maybe the car will just drive itself. You program into the GPS, and it's going to know where all the stop signs are and stuff, and, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're already doing that, so... We better cut this off, man. We're gonna be late.
All right, we're heading out. All right, thanks.